Welcome back to Strength 101, the podcast where we break down fitness and nutrition into its simplest form so that you can get the results that you want. Hey, it's me again, Nick, with another solo session because we are going to dive deep into some nutritional topics over the next couple of weeks. And today is going to be all about alcohol. Woo woo! Yeah, drink it up, drink it up. You know, alcohol is not everything bad. It's not everything good. Everything's in moderation, guys. Honestly, if anybody's making a drastic claim one way or another, they're trying to convince you of something that they believe, and you really have to go out there into the world and figure out things for yourself. So today what we're going to do is we're just going to go over some information. Some of it's going to be anecdotal, my personal experiences with alcohol, and some of it's going to be, you know, what the science says behind alcohol and fitness and whether somebody can actually be a drinker and achieve their goals in fitness and in life. And I'll tell you the short answer right now is yes. I know plenty of people that look fitter than almost anybody that you know, and they indulge in alcohol. And I know other people that can't get out of their own way, and they drink so much alcohol that they are never going to achieve their personal goals. But everything's up to what you want to do with your life and how much you want to indulge in different things. Everything's always a trade-off, but we'll get into that. So the first thing to understand is that, you know, alcohol is not necessarily inherently bad for your body, although it technically is poisoning your body. And what happens is you drink alcohol, and yes, aside from like the good times and the good feelings and all this stuff, the big issue with alcohol is really the breakdown of alcohol. When your body breaks down alcohol in your liver, it produces a chemical called acetaldehyde. And that is a chemical that is basically just a toxic poison. And it floats around in your body. And they've shown that it can penetrate basically any membrane in your body. And so when you do drink, it does technically poison your entire body. But as with anything, whether that is cigarettes or that is sugar or that is meth or whatever the hell it is, everything is dose dependent, okay, when it comes to chemicals. A little bit of something is likely not going to affect you that much and your body's going to be able to rebound quickly. A lot of something is going to, could potentially kill you, but it's going to take longer to rebound from something. And so it's just important to remember that everything in life is dose dependent. You know, my background is my bachelor's was in chemistry. And that was like the one big thing I learned is like everything's dose dependent. There's things that are completely harmless, used to season foods, all these things that in the right dose is amazing. And in too much of a dose is a complete killer. Like if you ingest too much water over a short period of time, you will die. It's just everything has to be taken in context. And so I think to be a zealot one way or the other and to be like everybody has to drink or nobody can drink and achieve their fitness goals, both of them are stupid. So let's talk about alcohol. First thing to understand is, like I said, alcohol breaks down into a poison. Your body does have to work hard to clear that poison from the body, and that will take time. Now, that might just affect how you feel, right? Everybody knows how it feels the day after a bender, let's say. Let's say you have too many drinks. Not even too many. Let's just say you have a significant amount of drinks. I'm sitting here 6'4", 230. If I had five drinks, let's say five Busch lattes, Busch lights, then I am definitely going to feel the effects the next day. Honestly, at the age of 36, if I have one drink, I do feel something a little bit different the next day, but that all depends. Did I have that drink at 8 a.m.? Did I have it at noon? Did I have it at 8 p.m.? There's so many factors in here that you need to understand about alcohol, but you are always going to get some type of an effect. And sometimes that's negative, but the question is, does the negative outweigh the positive of some of the social outcomes and some of the enjoyment that people get from alcohol? And so, you know, the next day things that you usually feel is you're going to feel a little bit of fatigue. Maybe you're going to feel a little bit of anxiety. I mean, if you really indulge, you're probably going to feel some shame, right? Everybody who has overindulged in alcohol is familiar with the idea of the shamesies, that kind of feeling that like, oh my God, how did I act? What did I do? What did I say? And you're just kind of anxious about it. But there's a really good physiological reason why people get anxiety from drinking the next day as well. And that's because alcohol is a central nervous system depressant. And so what that means is that your central nervous system exists in basically two states. You either have your fight or flight mode, or you have your like feed or breed mode. So you either have your elevated mode or you have your relaxed mode. And it's kind of like a switch. You either are existing in one or the other, and there's not really a whole lot of in between. And the thing that's amazing about alcohol and that most people like about it is it does shift you almost immediately. It's like the easiest way to chemically induce you to go into that more relaxed state. Even if somebody is all revved up and riled up on alcohol and they're acting ridiculous, their nervous system is in a relaxed state. And that's kind of where that what's the term? Release of inhibition? What's the term I'm looking for? Lack of inhibition, right? You don't feel inhibited anymore. If you're somebody who is kind of anxious or you're nervous around people, you have some alcohol, your body shifts you into a more relaxed state. So then you can kind of act like yourself or act like you want to, or sometimes act like you don't want to. But it does shift you into that state. So it's a central nervous system depressant. But what you always have to remember about the human body is what goes up must come down. And in this case, what goes down must come up. Your body is always adapting to try to keep you at homeostasis. It's trying to keep you at a place where you function properly. And so if you depress your central nervous system, your body is actually going to start sending signals to elevate your nervous system to get it back to at least a normal state. Because if you depress your central nervous system entirely, you would cease to function. This is why people lose motor control. That's why they stumble over their words. There's all kinds of things that happen when you ingest too much alcohol, and you can see the effects of it, and your body is always trying to counteract that to keep you safe. So if I indulge in a bunch of drinks and I depress my central nervous system, my body is going to react by elevating my central nervous system. And when you wake up the next day, that's that anxiety feeling. You're revved up for no reason. You might be a little bit on edge. You might feel like, I really am exhausted and I want to take a nap, but I just can't take a nap. You might feel that. You might sense that when you wake up at 2 a.m. I don't know if anybody else experiences this. I think it's pretty common. But if you have a bunch of drinks, then it's very common to wake up at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. and suddenly be feeling like you can't go back to bed. And that's because your body has processed the alcohol now. The depressant is out of your system for the most part. The poison is still there, but the depressant is out of your system. And now your body is still staying in that elevated nervous system state. And that's difficult to go to sleep on. It's just no different than if you were to drink a bunch of caffeine and have difficulty going to sleep, but it's a delayed effect because your body has to get the depressant out of your system. And so that's something that's obviously going to affect you with alcohol. Now, alcohol does pack a punch from a caloric standpoint. You know, alcohol, when it breaks down in your system, provides your body with some energy. So great, but it, you know, if you're somebody who's trying to lose weight, it might provide more of a caloric punch than your body can handle without putting excess fat on. You know, our protein and our carbohydrates that we ingest in our system provide us 4 calories per gram. Our dietary fats that we ingest provide us with 9 calories per gram. That's why you always have to watch how much butter and oil and stuff you ingest, because it just is more calorically dense and so more likely to put fat on you if you overindulge. But alcohol is 7, so 7 calories per gram. And so that's kind of a nice to know. It doesn't really matter. You know, if you're on some type of weight loss journey, or you're just trying to restrict yourself to maintenance calories so that you don't put on excess fat, then yes, you have to take into account that a lot of alcohol is going to pack a caloric punch, and not just because of the alcohol itself, but often what it's paired with, right? Most people don't sit down and just drink Jack Daniels. They drink Jack and Coke, and maybe somebody's drinking Jack and Diet Coke, but most people are going to drink Jack and regular Coke. And so you don't just get the calories from the alcohol, but you get the calories from the mixers that are in there as well. If somebody is trying to be on a diet, they're trying to control their weight, often we recommend them to go with clear alcohols and non-caloric mixers. So that's why vodka and soda is such a big one for people who are trying to control their weight. You know, even if you say vodka and tonic has calories. Almost everything that tastes good has calories. So you really have to watch yourself and lean on the diet portions. When it comes to beer, you know, like there's a reason that like Miller Genuine Draft comes out with, I think it's MGD, right? They have that super low calorie beer. I think maybe Michelob Ultra tends to be really low calorie. And so there's a lot of these companies that have developed as low of calorie as possible beer, so that people who are weight conscious or fitness conscious can still indulge without the caloric effects of potentially putting on weight. You take that versus something like a really heavy porter, like a nice peanut butter porter, like a nice coffee stout that's a really thick, dark beer. Some of those beers have close to like 200 calories for every 12 or 16 ounces. And it's just really hard not to outrun your ability to it's really difficult not to overindulge calorically when you're trying to have that many of those beers. And so your alcohol choice is very important if you're trying to keep your weight at a certain level. But really, aside from if you are trying to lose or maintain weight, it's not the calories of alcohol that are the real issue when it comes to how it affects your fitness journey. It's really the recovery that alcohol affects more than anything else. And so alcohol affects you on really three different levels that that will affect your ability to gain muscle, your ability to lose weight, your ability to generally recover from the workouts that you're doing. You know, the gym we run, Strength Academy, primarily focuses on strength training. We focus on putting muscle mass on people. We focus on building strength. And so we are often pushing heavy weights around there. That creates muscular damage, and your body has to heal that muscular damage and it has to recover properly in order for you to build back bigger and stronger. And so any hampering to the recovery process is going to at least delay the amount of results you get, or at least delay your ability to train hard 24 or 48 hours later. And so the first one is hydration. Alcohol has this massive effect on hydration, and that's because alcohol inhibits what we call antidiuretic hormone. And so everybody's roughly aware of this concept. Anybody who's kind of a casual or a chronic drinker knows about breaking the seal, right? You're drinking, and then all of a sudden, you gotta pee. And then once you pee that first time, it feels like you gotta pee every 10 minutes. And the more you drink, the more you gotta pee. And that's not just because you're intaking a lot of liquid. It's also because alcohol has a block on what's called antidiuretic hormone, which is a hormone that allows you to keep storing liquid in your bladder until it's full and then you go pee. Instead, as soon as water enters your bladder, you're like, I gotta pee. And so you can imagine that that's going to affect the amount of water your body has an ability to retain as well. And so that's part of the massive dehydration that happens from alcohol. Yes, alcohol does use up water to get broken down into the liver. Or in the liver, it actually takes molecules of water as part of that process and uses them up to break down alcohol so you don't get poisoned and die. But it also causes you to pee all the excess water out of your body. And anytime that your body gets dehydrated, your recovery is going to be hampered. You're just not going to recover the muscle damage. You're not going to be prepared for your next workout. And that effect lasts for several days. And those of you who are drinkers out there, you could think about it, about how you feel, not just, let's say you drink on a Saturday. It's not just about how you feel on Sunday. Usually you kind of feel the effects Monday, maybe even Tuesday. I usually feel this as kind of that feeling of like hot flash, or maybe when I go to sleep on Sunday night, it feels like my body temperature is elevated, and maybe I'm going to sweat in bed a little bit more than I normally would because my body just can't adapt to changes in temperature as well as it could because I'm dehydrated. And so that effect on those hormones can last for several days, and that's just something you can't get around. Obviously, the effect is going to be greater the more alcohol you drink. And so like I said, everything's dose dependent. You drink a little bit, you're going to be able to recover from that more quickly. You're going to be able to return to base hydration levels better. But the more you drink, the longer it's going to take. That could take you 2-3 days. It could mess with you up to a week. It just depends on your body and how you process everything. So hydration is definitely a big issue on your recovery. But alcohol also has a direct effect on protein synthesis. And what I mean when I say protein synthesis is after you damage your muscles, your body has to create new proteins and use those proteins to build muscle back bigger and stronger. And that process is called protein synthesis. And just like we talked about with the nervous system, protein synthesis is kind of like a light switch thing. It either gets turned on or it gets turned off in these metabolic pathways. And alcohol directly inhibits your ability to synthesize new proteins. And so obviously, if you hit a hard workout at 3 p.m. on a Friday, and then you go out for happy hour immediately after, even if you do get a nice bolus of protein and you're giving your body the substituents it needs to recover that muscle damage, your body is not going to recover as optimally because alcohol inhibits that protein synthesis. And so I have experienced this as if I did that same thing I just said, I workout at 3 and then I have drinks at 5 p.m., I just noticed the next day I'm much more sore than I normally would be if I had gone home and just eaten protein and had water or Gatorade or whatever. So that's something you just can't get around. It's just going to inhibit that process, which means delayed recovery, which might be fine if you're going to work out on a Friday, drink on a Friday, and then have the weekend to recover. But if you are going to work out on a Wednesday and then you're going to work out hard on a Wednesday and then you're going to go have drinks for trivia night and then you want to have a workout on a Thursday morning, likelihood is you're not going to be recovered, your performance is going to be hampered, and you just have to be willing to accept that. And that's part of the trade-off of drinking alcohol. Probably the biggest effect that alcohol has on your body, both mentally and physically, is its effect on sleep. We know this, right? Like, if you drink, you felt this before, you just don't sleep as well. You might get put to sleep by alcohol, but you are not getting good sleep after you've drank. And that, it affects me if I have one or two drinks. It's definitely going to affect me if I have 10 drinks. Wait, did I say I've had 10 drinks before? Yeah, guys, man, I went to college. I know what it feels like. You sleep when you drink, and you might even get 8 or 10 hours of sleep, but your body does not enter the same sleep states that it normally does. You don't get into that deep sleep where your body relaxes your muscles, where it recovers your muscles more properly, where it allows your body to actually go into a relaxed state and regenerate. You are asleep, your eyes are closed, but you're not clearing metabolic waste out of your brain as effectively, and you're also not recovering your muscles as well because you're just not getting into the same levels of deep sleep that you normally would without alcohol. And so that's the effects you feel. And everybody's felt this who's had too many drinks. You might sleep for 8 hours, but you wake up and you feel like maybe you slept for 4 or 5. It's just not the same as sober sleep. And that's probably going to be the biggest effect. You know, when we talk about the recovery triangle in the gym, we talk about the three most important things for optimally recovering from a workout being water, protein, and sleep. And I think we just hit on those same things that alcohol inhibits. It inhibits protein synthesis, so it inhibits your ability to optimally use protein to recover the muscles. It inhibits your sleep, so then you can't go, you know, your body recovers when you sleep. It doesn't recover as well when you're awake. And so it inhibits that process of recovery that you get from sleep. And then you need that water to really lubricate and provide all the metabolic processes, the speed necessary to recover properly. And you just don't have that water in your system either. So it really hits all three of those pieces of the triangle, and it's just going to delay recovery generally. Now, that's a lot of negatives that I just put out there. I'll be honest, like, I'm not against drinking. We never tell our people not to drink. We just make them aware that recovery is going to be hampered, that you're probably going to ingest more calories when you're drinking alcohol, but everything is a trade-off, guys. And when you go out there to live your life, keep in mind that it's your damn life. Stop listening to other people telling you that you should do it this way or shouldn't do it that way. That's their choice. There are some people, there's a lot of people, and there's different times in your life where you're willing to make that trade-off. Maybe you have been stressed out with work. You've been stressed out with your relationships. You've been stressed out with life in general. And the big thing you need is to go have a couple drinks with dear friends, fill your social cup, fill your alcohol cup. And that's something that was so enjoyable to you that it was worth it to be a little bit hampered on your recovery over the weekend. There's always trade-offs. It's like, you know, there might be some positives, and maybe sometimes those outweigh the negatives. And maybe sometimes you're drinking too much and you're drinking to escape your life instead of to elevate your life. And those negatives end up outweighing the positives of your good habits of working out and eating well. It just depends on what you want it to be. And so I don't think that anybody should necessarily avoid alcohol if they don't want to. Obviously, if it's a problem for you, then you have to recognize that. But I think there is plenty of room for people to have alcoholic beverages and still achieve the results they want. You just have to be aware of what's actually happening to your body when you drink and not trick yourself into thinking that you're the same after 6 drinks as you are after 0, because it's just not the case. The last thing I'll mention on this, and I know this is another negative, but you do hear people talk about fatty liver disease, if you've ever heard of this. Now, alcohol has to go and get processed through the liver. You know, it's not, it doesn't just enter your body. It's a poison. It has to get broken down through the liver. And anything that goes and gets broken down through the liver, the same thing happens when we have a bunch of fructose. Then if you are in a caloric surplus, your body is going to preferentially store that fat locally. And what that means is that if I am in a caloric surplus, I'm in a fat storage state and I'm drinking alcohol, then likely the fat that gets stored from those excess calories is going to end up around my internal organs and around my liver. And that can be extremely damaging to your liver to have that excess fat around there. Obviously, if you're drinking consistently and heavily, then you can actually damage your liver. You can get cirrhosis, that kind of hardening, scarring of the liver. But that really is in excess. Everything in moderation, guys. Your liver is one of the most resilient organs in your body, and it can bounce back from almost anything. And so you don't have to be scared to have drinks. You have to be scared of having like 10 drinks a day for 10 years. That's like a real issue. And honestly, like, you're not even going to have any effects from that fatty liver type of issue if you're controlling for calories. And so I think the summary is everything is in your control. You should be aware of the effects, but you should live the life you want and just be willing to make the trade-offs. Like, there are some days where I'm like, yeah, it's totally worth it for me to have some drinks with friends, and I know my workout's going to suck tomorrow and I'm going to be dehydrated and I'm going to feel extra tired. And that's just okay, because life's not all about the gym, guys. It's about other things going on too. If this was helpful at all, make sure and send us a message. You can find us at Strength Academy RF on Instagram. You can find us at Strength Academy 101 on TikTok and on YouTube. Send us a message somehow, some way, and let us know that this helped. Because we just want to provide value to you guys. And I think this is something that a lot of people don't go into depth on. And so that's all she wrote. This is Strength 101. Peace out.